Father, I thank you for everyone that's here, and I thank you for this opportunity, and I pray that you would just help me to be sharp, not stupid. You'd keep your hand over my mouth, that I would not say anything contrary to your word. I just pray that you would bless everybody that's here in a special way, and we depend totally upon your spirit. Ask it in Jesus' name, amen. I try to be scriptural when I talk. In fact, I heard of a group of ladies that met, and they always wanted to be spiritual. Everything had to be based on scripture. And this one lady always wanted to answer things by scripture. And she told him that a man had asked her to marry her. And she answered him with a scripture. She said, I would not have you, ignorant brother. I'll try to be scriptural. Well, there was one other one, too. Another lady said, well, I like that scripture. She had been single all her life, and she said, I like that scripture that says, if any man will come unto me, let him. Psalms 133. This is Memorial Day weekend, and I told Pastor Denny I was thinking about what Memorial Day is and what it means to our country, what men have went through to allow us to have freedom. And if you've never been to Arlington Cemetery, or even if you haven't been to the one out in Holly, the Great Lakes National Cemetery for our military, it's touching. You see all of these graves of men who have served. And you go to Arlington, and it's just amazing. You can go up on the hill, and you look out, and all you see is the crosses of soldiers that have given their lives. We even went and saw Audie Murphy. If you've heard of him, he was the most decorated war hero of World War II. And today, let me just mention two people. I'd like to just pay tribute to my uncle. His name was Silas Combs, my Uncle Cy. He landed, just to give you an idea, he told my dad he would never talk about the war. He was wounded 3 times, and they were watching a war movie in his house, and they couldn't find him. And they found him back in the bedroom, in the back of the closet, under the clothes, crying. What these guys went through for us, they deserve our honor. They deserve it. And I don't say this for me. You know, I was in the military during Vietnam, but I never went to Vietnam. But Diane and I and the kids, we got stationed in Okinawa. And I think about Okinawa. Our mission there was to get the refuelers in the air so that they could meet up with the F-4s, the B-52s, whatever, that was going over Vietnam. And I just thought about what that was like 40-some years ago, and the unity that we had. There was no fussing. We knew we had a task to do. We had to get those refuelers in the air because somebody out there was dependent on us or they would not make it home. So there was unity. But the two men I want to mention is my Uncle Cy, and he landed in the second wave at D-Day. And he told my dad this. He said, John, he said, when I ran off that LST, he said, I think I could have made it to the hill, the cliffs they were climbing, and never touched the sand by running on bodies that had died before I got there. That's what it was like for him. And the other person, my father-in-law. Be 97, November 28th, and he was in Germany, and I don't think he had the combat that my uncle did, but he was still there. And I just honor these two men this morning. But when I say about the unity that we had in the military, that just, I told Pastor Denny, he says, what are you going to talk about? And I said, unity. And as I was musing about what the military has done for us and how they had to have unity to succeed, it brought to my mind Psalms 133. And it's only 3 verses, so let me read these. Psalms 133, it says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that flowed down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard that went down to the skirts of his garments. And as the dew of Mount Hermon, and as the dew that descended upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commanded the blessing, even life forevermore." So I've got some points today that I would like to talk about unity. And at the end, I want to talk about the oil that flowed down Aaron's beard, and then about the dew of Mount Hermon, why that might be mentioned in this scripture. But if we're going to have unity in the body of Christ, if we're going to have unity among us, the first thing that we have to have, point one, would be the unity of the Spirit. We must have the unity of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:13 says, "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ." For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ. This eliminates. But it eliminates the spirit of Allah, the spirit of Muhammad, the spirit of Buddha, whatever. It's the spirit of Christ. "For by one Spirit are we all baptized into the body of Christ." And Jesus says, if anybody have not the spirit of Christ, he is none of his. So we are baptized into the body of Christ by the spirit of Christ, and we must have the unity of the Spirit. And George Bush II, I don't think he's a junior, but when I was at work, I'd be on a computer, and I was just kind of interested in his inaugural address. And I read his second inaugural address. And in that, here's what he said. He said, "We've got to get back to the precepts of Sinai." I agree with that. But don't camouflage it. We've got to get back to the Ten Commandments, is what he could have said. But he said, the precepts of Sinai, and then he said this, and the Quran, in his second inaugural address. And then he said this, and our varied faiths. No. There's one Lord, there's one God, and there's one faith. So it's not varied faiths. That's why we can't have unity, because the division. In Daniel chapter 4, I think it is, chapter 2, Nebuchadnezzar's had his dream, the head of gold and the legs of brass and all of that, but it said, then there were 10 toes, and in these 10 toes, part of them were iron and part of them were clay. And then it said in there that iron will not mix with clay. Now, I don't know this to be true, but I agreed with that. Some of you know Ed Davis, who's passed on, a good teacher. And he said, I believe that iron and clay that will not mix, and it's the end times. Those 10 toes represent the 10 kings in Revelation. We're not going there today. But they won't mix. It's iron and clay, and it won't mix. He said, I believe that is Muslims and Bible-believing people. They just can't mix. There's no unity there. We need the unity of the Spirit. And I just have to, I don't mean to get on a soapbox about George Bush, but I have to get a little bit disagreement with his address. It's impossible unless the Spirit draws us together. We can have unity to a point with people, but not the unity that we need in the body of Christ. And Amos 4:3 says, can two walk together except they be agreed? So we need the unity of the Spirit, and we don't have varied faiths. There's one Lord, one God, one faith, and we've got to have that. And Diane and I talk about our country, and even this morning we were, and I don't know if you know it, but the New England Confederate States said this when they started out. They said, we have settled in this portion of this great country for one express purpose, to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ and enjoy the liberties of the gospel forever. That's how we were founded. The Mayflower Compact, when they landed at, I think, Plymouth Rock, and they started out, they said, in the name of God, amen. They made no bones about it. It's in the name of God, and our forefathers said, we have settled for one purpose in this country, to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ and enjoy the liberties of the gospel forever. I don't know how we'd have to say that today in the name of whoever, whatever, all the names we would have to list, why we're here. No, we're here to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ. And you can't do that without unity about Jesus Christ. I know it got hectic a few Mondays ago because everybody's moving around, but one thing that's enjoyable about the food giveaway, we've got a goal. We've got a purpose, and it's to get that food ready to pass it out to the cars. And I know that still working on some things, Pastor or Jenny is, and Joe, but it's just the purpose and the unity of it. And it's, I love June, I just love the unity. Even Elijah, when he was confronting the prophets of Baal, and you know, 450 prophets, and he said, listen, he said, if God be God, then serve God. But if Baal be God, then serve him. You can't do them both. Jesus even said in Luke, he said, you can't have two masters. He said, either you'll love the one and hate the other, or you'll love that one and despise the other. So it's the unity of the Spirit. We're all baptized in the body of Christ by the Spirit of Christ, and that's where our unity comes from, is by him. And anytime the body of Christ begins to grow in unity, that's when I know that the devil will rise up and try to destroy our unity. He's a master at it. And in Nehemiah chapter 2, when Nehemiah has examined the walls and the condition of Jerusalem, he's wept and he's mourned certain days, and then he goes to the elders and the rulers and tells them what God has told him to do. They listen to him speak, and they said in Nehemiah chapter 2, they said, let us rise up and build. There was unity there. Immediately in the next verse, there's two individuals listed there, Sanballat and Tobiah. And they begin to mock them and scorn them. Makes me know this, at any time the body of Christ said, let us rise up and build, let us have unity, the enemy said, let us rise up and destroy. That's why we must endeavor, Ephesians 4 and 3, I believe it says, endeavor to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Endeavor means to work, to labor. We have to work at keeping the unity of the Spirit, because there's always something trying to drive a wedge. And Diane and I have, I want to be careful, I won't say the names, but we have been in churches, a few churches, where there was not unity. And I'm going to mention three. Not one of them, we weren't there, but it was my brother. We're in a church, and this guy thought he run the church. He thought he was in charge. And there's a price to pay when you fight the unity of the church and you fight the pastor. You see, there in God's plan, there's three authorities. There's direct authority, that's God. And then there's delegated authority. That's those that God has delegated, like Pastor Denny is in the authority of this church. And then there's positional authority. Positional authority is not instituted by God. It's initiated by man, and God will not sustain that unity or bless it. But he does bless delegated authority, and we have seen people that have fought delegated authority. This one individual in church this particular Sunday, and it just so happened that the sound guy was gone, and so at that church, there was a little hole about that big up in the back of the church, and it was as high as the ceiling maybe, and you sat up there and you could look through that little hole and you could see that was back before we had sound stations like that, and I was doing that. And there was a message from God, and it said this. All I remember specifically about it, that there's someone in the church that's trying to exercise their authority, and it said this. It said, mark them, mark them, mark them, and have nothing to do with them. And then it said, if they repent, accept them and love them. And this was in the Church of God, and there was an Assembly of God minister there for the first time. And he was sitting down. He had nothing to do with any of that. And he got up, and he said, listen, I normally don't involve myself in the church's affairs, but he said, evidently, there is someone here, maybe one or maybe two, that is trying to run things. And he said, you think you have a following, but he said, you are sticking out like a sore thumb this morning. And he said, God has admonished this church to mark you. He said it three times, to mark them. He said, if you repent, he's admonished them to love you and welcome you. Well, I knew, I'm not trying to be smart, but I knew who one of the individuals was, and I looked down. And I can, if you haven't been in a service like this, a lot of the ladies, good godly ladies, they begin to just weep out loud. And I looked down, and this individual got up and stormed out of the church. And then he started going to people's houses. And I knew the lady that spoke from God, and you can't convince me, it was made up. And he said, listen, telling people in the church, the pastor and these people got together and connived that. It wasn't God. To make a long story short, within 2 years, the man took a shotgun and nearly took his head off with a 12-gauge shotgun and committed suicide. Another church we were at, it was the same thing. The guy wanted to intervene, and he died an untimely death. And then my brother had a lady in his church, and I won't say her name. She wanted everybody to answer to her. Don't listen to the pastor. Come to me and get your advice from me. She died an untimely death. God does not tolerate when we're trying to have the unity of the Spirit and individuals try to weasel in and take over. I can honestly say, why are you saying that here? I don't know, but I haven't seen that here. If it's going on here, I haven't seen it. I see unity here. I see us getting together. We have to endeavor to keep it, though, because the devil will rise up and try and take it away from us. And just a verse. In John chapter 6, when Jesus fed the 5,000, he took the bread and the loaves. Now, there were, Pastor Denny mentioned Wednesday night, there were probably 20,000 people there. There were 5,000 men plus women and children. But this is what Jesus said in John chapter 6. He said, listen, make the men sit down in rows of tens and fifties and hundreds on this green grass. And then it said, and Jesus took the bread and the fish and he divided it. He multiplied it by dividing it, and he added to it by subtracting of it. And in the end, the fraction that he took up was greater than the whole that he started with. And he given it to the disciples. They were God's delegated authority. And they were to, first of all, they were to make the men to sit down. Now, here's what disunity is like. And I'll say, I'm one of those people. And Peter walks up to me and says, listen, you guys just sit down here. And I, Peter, who do you think you are? You're not Jesus. I'm not sitting down. I'll just stand up here and eat if you don't mind. If you read that scripture, it says, and to those who were set down, they had as much as they wanted. They ate till they were full. It says that. Read it. John chapter 6. To those who were set down, those who would submit to delegated authority, we must not just have the unity of the Spirit, but we must submit to the authority that God has put over us, his delegated authority. Without that, there's no unity. And we have seen it. There are churches that used to be good churches that are not churches anymore. There are churches that have went down to nothing because the devil has gotten in and created disunity. No harmony. And as I was studying this week, I just want to read a scripture for you. It's in Psalms 131. I don't know if you've ever seen this. This was, when I read it, it just was good. There's only three verses. My heart is Psalms 131. My heart is not haughty, nor mine eyes lofty, neither do I exercise myself in great matters or in things too high for me. Surely I have behaved and quieted myself as a child that is weaned of his mother. My soul is even weaned as a weaned child. That's what it says. And I wrote this down. God uses situations and circumstances to wean us away from the flesh and childish immaturity. God wants you weaned away from selfishness and all worldliness. Now, when I went into the military, and like I said, Vietnam was going strong, and it wasn't my choice to go in. I didn't have a choice. But I remember after you've had your physical and I got to my boot camp or tech school, whatever, boot camp, and they took us in a room and they started asking us questions. Does anyone here, are you having marital problems? Do you have outstanding debt that you can't pay? They didn't want distractions in combat. They don't want somebody depending on me in combat when I'm worried about my wife, or I'm worried about how I'm going to pay my bills, et cetera, et cetera. They ask, I can't tell you all the questions they ask us that we had to answer. And at the time, I didn't have outstanding debt, and while I was there, my brother totaled out our car and insurance didn't pay it off, and then we had outstanding debt, but I can tell you the Lord took care of us. But they wanted us weaned from those things. And in the body of Christ, we need to be weaned from selfish immaturity and contentious attitudes. So we keep the Spirit, the unity of the Spirit. First of all, James 4:7, we submit ourselves, therefore, to God. 1 Peter 5:5, the younger are to submit to the elders as rulers over them. So I submit myself to Pastor Denny. And then we submit ourselves one to another. And it hasn't been easy for me sometimes submitting spiritually to my wife. I'm not going to go into any detail, but I can tell you that Diane has had a few dreams. And she came to me and she says, Jim, I had this dream. And it was about our son and our nephew. And I'm telling you, it spoke to me. One of those two went over a cliff. And she said, in my dream, I'm screaming, stop, stop. She said, what you and my brother-in-law were doing, we were able to step over that crevice. But the two kids that were following us couldn't make that step. And one of them, our son, she hollered, and he was spared. But the one went down the cliff. And I submitted to that. Didn't say I did a good job. But I did hear what she said, and I realized I needed to change some things that I was doing for the good of my son. So we submit one to another. The next thing, we have to have the unity of the faith. That's where I had a problem with George Bush's, our buried faiths. How can we have unity when we have buried faiths? There's one God, one Lord, one faith, and our faith is in Jesus Christ. And we have to fight the good fight of faith. And Jude 1:3 says that we must earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. We have to contend and fight for the faith, but we got to have the unity of the faith. Without it, where are we? Our faith is in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ alone, and that's where our faith is. It's in him. and I can, you know, I haven't heard, and, you know, I'm, we're not, right now we're praying on Wednesday nights, but I've sat in the fellowship hall when we have our Bible studies on Wednesday night, and I haven't heard any contentions about our faith. I haven't heard any big disagreements about what we believe, why we believe it. And that's a good thing, to agree together and walk together in faith. It's just a good thing. Ephesians 1:27, I'm going to read this. Let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Striving together for the faith of the gospel. So we must have the unity of the spirit, we must have the unity of the faith, and we must have the unity of purpose. Point three, we've got to have the unity of purpose, and our purpose should be like our founding fathers in the New England States, to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ and enjoy the liberties of the gospel forever. That's what our purpose should be, that and that alone. I said I would get, we're going to talk about the do. Maybe I'll do that one first. The Bible says, the unity, behold how good and how pleasant it is for men and brethren to dwell together in unity. And in verse 3 it says, it's like the dew of Mount Hermon. Dew in the Bible represents the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit always precedes Jesus. And the only ministry of the Holy Spirit in this dispensation is one thing, and that's to glorify Jesus. That is his ministry, to glorify Jesus. And if I get up here and I want to glorify me and not glorify Jesus, he's sitting there with his arms folded and said, this is yours. I'm not going to be a part of it. Because my only ministry is to glorify Jesus, and he always precedes Jesus, so you said to do. Even when they're in the wilderness and God gave them manna, and Jesus, that was bread from heaven, and Jesus says, I am that bread from heaven, but first the dew was there. In the morning, the dew preceded the manna, and they had to get down and on their knees. There's another point. They had to get down on their knees to gather that bread, that manna. But the dew preceded Jesus. Now at Mount Hermon, I studied Mount Hermon one time, and Mount Hermon, at the base of Mount Hermon, they said there's just luscious vegetation. They went on an excursion or a whatever you'd call it there just to investigate the lusciousness of all of the vegetation at the base of Mount Hermon. They went to bed one night in their tents or whatever, and when they got up the next morning, their guns and everything was saturated. They had to wipe them off so they wouldn't rust. What is that saying? That's saying that that dew was so ample, so copious, that it wasn't just a surface thing. The reason there was luscious gardens, because the dew was so heavy, the sun, when it came up, it didn't burn it all off, but it got down to the roots of it. My unity with you can't not be just a surface thing. I can't walk up to Chuck and say, Chuck, I love you, man, and then go over to Joe and say, did you hear what Chuck did? It's got to be from my heart. I'm not going to stand here, and even if something would be true, and badmouth my wife to you because I love her in my heart. I said, even if something be true. So. Because I love her. It's got to be something that's from our heart. It's not just a surface thing where I say it and don't mean it. It's got to be from my heart. That's why it's the unity is like the dew of Mount Hermon. It's just the blessedness of the base of Mount Hermon and the blessedness thing it is with God when we dwell together in unity and in peace and harmony. That's the dew of Mount Hermon. The oil, it talks about the oil that was put upon Aaron's head, and it flowed down his garments even to the ground. The oil that Moses was instructed to anoint Aaron with, you can read about in Exodus chapter 30, verses 22 through 33, the composition of the oil, and it's made of all of these sweet spices. And I believe it had such an aroma to it. Smelled awesome. Cassimus and cinnamon. And you'd have to read it to see all of the ingredients that Moses was instructed when he made the anointing oil. But he didn't just... I used to hear a guy get up and... have you ever remember that Brill Cream ad? Little dabble, do you? This wasn't a little dabble, do you, Aaron? Moses was instructed to pour it on his head. And when he poured it on his head, Psalms 133 says it flowed down Aaron's, from his head down to his beard, down to his garments. He was saturated with it. And there was a sweet smell to it. Moses anoints Aaron with the oil, and it's a type of the Holy Spirit, and it's flowing down his garments, even to the ground, down his... Maybe me and Diane or me and Bill are out in the lobby and Aaron's in here and he's just been anointed and he goes walking by and Bill says, "My, what was that? Whew, what is that?" I said, "Oh, don't you know? That's the anointed man of God just went by. He's just been anointed. The oil flowed down him." It was attractive. When somebody comes into a church and they see bickering and fighting, they want to leave. But when they come in and they see unity and the presence of the Spirit of God, and we're all in agreement, it's attractive to people. That's why I believe that Jesus, in his word, mentioned these things in Psalms 133. And we look at them and we see things about them and we think, wow, that's what unity is like in the body of Christ. It's attractive. It makes people want to be there. And when there's fighting, you want no part of it. We've been there and it's disgusting. when you can't get along. And in John chapter 17, Jesus is nearing his death, and he begins to pray for his disciples. And this was his desire for his disciples and for every member of the body of Christ from that time until that dispensation is over, until eternity is here. And he said it four times. In John chapter 17, verse 11, verse 21, verse 22, and verse 23. And this is what he said. He said, "Father, I pray that they would be one, even as you and I are one. Father, I pray that they would have unity like we have unity. Father, I pray that they would be like Psalms 133. And that when he prayed that for the disciples, he prayed that for us also. And it's not going to happen if we don't have the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the faith, and the unity of purpose. What we have to have." And there's a verse that I would like to close with. It's Psalms 55 and 14. It says, "We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house in company." We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house in company. I can tell you, at the church we was at, I was functioning in a position in that church, and I walked in one Sunday. I had been there. I would get there early, and I walked in, and a lady walked up to me, and she said, "Brother so-and-so," she said, "aren't you such and such in this church?" I said, "Well, yes, I am." She said, "Aren't you supposed to treat everybody the same?" And I said, "Yeah." She said, "Well, so-and-so just went home because you didn't say hi to him." Serious. I didn't even want to be there. I wanted to go home. I wanted to get my wife and kids and just get out of there. So they're having church, and I left church and went to this man's house and said, "I understand you think I didn't speak to you." "Yeah, well, I thought it was pretty obvious you didn't say hi to me." I said, "Man." I said, "You know what I'm trying to do on Sunday mornings here, and I didn't say hi to you?" And I said, "I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to." That's ridiculous. That's ridiculous. Get our feelings off our shoulders and worship God. Let's get together to advance the kingdom of Jesus Christ and enjoy the liberties of the gospel forever instead of, yeah. Sorry, but if you haven't been there, I don't see it here. Maybe this is so we won't do it here. Maybe it's, I don't know. Let's just keep this unity. Let's keep the unity of the faith, the unity of the Spirit, and the unity of purpose. Because I'm telling you, He's coming soon. I showed Diane in Copenhagen, Denmark. I don't have the picture. I should have screenshot it. And they're showing what they're doing in Copenhagen, Denmark. And you know that little square, you can take your phone and scan it and it'll tell you the price of something and all that? They're showing this guy's wrist and he's got it on there. That's how they're identifying if he's had the vaccine or not. That's a prelude to the mark of the beast. We're getting there, folks. Things are lining up. The Lord's coming back. And I told somebody last week, I said, I told Pastor Denny, I said, when I was in high school, I was a sophomore, and John Kennedy came to Flint and gave a speech. And he spoke behind Saginaw Street there where the main offices are, and they built a platform for him. In Ainsworth, I was in the band, I played the trumpet, and our school got chosen to sit beside the platform and play for him. And I just remember that. I looked up at him, saw him standing, yeah, that's John Kennedy. Scared to death of him, back then he was Catholic. If you don't, some of us who are older, I can honestly remember, still remember it, on Dartmouth Street on January 1st, or January 31st, when they're shooting all the fireworks, and John Kennedy is going to be inaugurated president. I went out and stood on the porch scared to death because we was going to have a Catholic president. I said, I'd take him back today in a heartbeat. But here's my point. I told Pastor Denny, I said, they knew John Kennedy was coming to give a speech. They didn't build that stage for him for 2 years in advance. No, they built it the week he got here to have it ready for him to speak from. What are you saying? I'm saying this. The platform for the Antichrist is being built right now. It's getting ready for him to come and take his stand on it. So get right with God, stay right with God, enjoy his presence and his goodness, and know that soon we'll be leaving here. Soon we're going to take a plane air ride. Not an airplane ride, but a plane air ride. And I like doing this, but I like doing this better when we're in a class setting so we can discuss and just talk about this. Just basically keep the unity of the Spirit, the unity of the faith, and the unity of purpose, and don't let the devil come in and drive a wedge between any of us because he wants to. He wants to. Father, I thank you for your grace, for your mercy that you've bestowed upon us. Father, I pray for every one of my brothers and sisters here that they would grow in grace. They would grow in you. Father, I pray that our unity here would be so attractive when people see us, they would ask us, what's going on there? And we could say nothing other than the Spirit of Christ binds us together in love and in unity. Father, I do ask that you touch our pastor, Denny and Jenny and their family as they're in Pennsylvania. Bless them, give them rest and enjoyment. Keep your hand upon them, Lord. Put a hedge about them as they travel back tomorrow. I pray that you touch Sharon Olinger in a special way, God. Just continue to bring healing to her. Lord, I ask these things in the name of Jesus, the strong Son of God, who loved us and gave himself for us.